In today's news headlines, the Republican National Convention kicked off in Charlotte, North Carolina on Monday in a manner that was starkly different from the Democratic National Convention the week before. The RNC featured President Donald Trump on the first day, and Trump will apparently address the convention on all of the 4 days. Also speaking were Trump's son, Donald Jr., Representative Matt Gaetz, Senator Tim Scott, former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, and others. The New York Times described the RNC's day one, saying, quote, President Trump and his party engaged in sweeping revisionism about his management of the coronavirus, his record on race relations, and much else. The Washington Post called it, quote, a fire hose of false or misleading claims, mostly drawn from President Trump's arsenal of falsehoods. Trump spoke early in the day and repeatedly asked his followers to, quote, be very careful, claiming falsely that Democrats were engaged in nefarious activity for wanting to use vote by mail in a pandemic-era election. He also repeated the demonstrably false claim that the Obama administration had spied on his campaign in 2016.
We have to be very careful because they're trying it again with this whole 80 million mail-in ballots that they're working on, sending them out to people that didn't ask for them. They didn't ask, they just get them. And it's not fair and it's not right and it's not going to be possible to tabulate, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. We have to be very, very careful. And you have to watch, every one of you, you have to watch.
That's Trump on Monday, on the first day of the Republican National Convention. Among the RNC's speakers was Kimberly Guilfoyle, whom the Post described as a, quote, prosecutor turned Fox News host turned Trump surrogate. Guilfoyle's speech, which was delivered in the style of a high-energy rally, even though she was in an empty room, drew widespread ridicule on social media.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
She also drew criticism for referring to herself as a first-generation immigrant, even though her mother is from Puerto Rico, a U.S. colony, not another nation. And she painted a bleak and dystopian picture of how the U.S. could turn into California under a Biden-Harris administration.
If you want to see the socialist Biden-Harris future for our country, just take a look at California. It is a place of immense wealth, immeasurable innovation, an immaculate environment. And the Democrats turned it into a land of discarded heroin needles in parks, riots in streets, and blackouts in homes.
That's Kimberly Guilfoyle on the first day of the RNC, trashing the state of California, where she once lived as Governor Gavin Newsom's former wife. Also warning against a socialist utopia under Biden-Harris was Senator Tim Scott, the GOP's only black lawmaker in the United States Senate.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want a cultural revolution, a fundamentally different America. If we let them, they will turn our country into a socialist utopia.
That's Senator Tim Scott claiming that the Biden-Harris ticket would bring a socialist utopia to the U.S., perhaps meaning to say dystopia instead. The RNC also featured former South Carolina governor and UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, the daughter of immigrants from India, who flat out rejected the existence of racism in the U.S.
In much of the Democratic Party, it's now fashionable to say that America is racist. That is a lie. America is not a racist country.
Haley also slammed the member nations of the United Nations as a den of, quote, dictators, murderers, and thieves.
Now, the UN is not for the faint of heart. It's a place where dictators, murderers, and thieves denounce America and then put their hands out and demand that we pay their bills.
Haley said these words without a hint of irony, considering that Trump's closest allies, Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman, Russia's Vladimir Putin, Turkey's Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and others fit her description more aptly. Trump's son, Donald Jr., also spoke, claiming, among other things, that Americans could have a perfect life with Trump as president.
Imagine the life you want to have, one with a great job, a beautiful home, a perfect family. You can have it. Imagine the country you want to live in, one with true equal opportunity, where hard work pays off and justice is served with compassion and without partiality. You can have it. Imagine a world where the evils of communism and radical Islamic terrorism are not given a chance to spread, where heroes are celebrated and the good guys win.
That's the president's son, one of many of his family members, speaking at the RNC this week. Trump Jr. also referred to Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden as, quote, the Loch Ness monster of the swamp. He has claimed over and over again that Biden's family has benefited off of his political career, even though the Trump family has done precisely that. On day two of the RNC, among the speakers will be Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who may be in violation of the Hatch Act by overtly backing Trump for re-election, even though he continues to serve as a top cabinet member. Pompeo's own department sent his staff a memo, as other state secretaries have done in previous elections, warning against taking political sides. State secretaries do not address political conventions as a rule. But Pompeo, in a pre-recorded address from Jerusalem, is expected to tout his Christian Zionist worldview. The 32-year-old black man named Jacob Blake, who was shot at point-blank range in the back by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, may be paralyzed from the waist down. The father of three was attempting to sit in his car while multiple officers swarmed around him, and one shot him at least 7 times in the back in an incident that was caught on video and has sparked condemnation. Protests raged in Kenosha, and police fired tear gas at activists who are demanding police accountability. Dr. Stephen Hahn, the commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, on Monday issued a mea culpa over scientific claims he made on the efficacy of COVID-19 survivors' plasma as an effective treatment. Hahn had publicly claimed that 35 out of every 100 people ill with the virus could be saved by using the treatment, but other scientists say the number is more like 3 to 7 out of 100. Hahn later tweeted, "The criticism is entirely justified. What I should have said better is that the data show a relative risk reduction, not an absolute risk reduction." Still, the use of the plasma as a treatment has been approved, even though there are not enough studies to confirm its safe use. Trump had accused the FDA and the so-called deep state of delaying approval to undermine his re-election chances. New York's Attorney General Letitia James on Monday revealed in a court filing that her office is leading an investigation into whether the Trump Organization broke laws about asset valuation. The president's son, Eric Trump, had agreed to be interviewed about the investigation, but then canceled his appearance. And finally, in climate news, Hurricane Laura has claimed the lives of 11 people in the Caribbean as it heads now toward Texas and Louisiana. The National Hurricane Center is predicting that Laura will become, quote, life-threatening. And 7 people have died in intense lightning-sparked wildfires in Northern California, with more than 600 structures damaged. The fires have now been 25% contained.